A few weeks ago, the U.S. Senate passed a resolution recognizing the importance of dirt. Yes, dirt. It's not as crazy as it may sound. And my next guest, who has helped draft that resolution, says that the soil is underrated. It's not just important for plants. It's also it also can affect global climate. And he says soil is holding, listen to this, soil is holding 3 times the amount of carbon than the atmosphere. And with proper management, soil could absorb a significant amount of carbon dioxide from the air. Here to tell us more is Ratan Lal. He is a professor of soil science and director of the Carbon Management and Sequestration Center at Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
Is that true? Can soil really soak up a lot of that CO2?
It certainly can. If properly managed, soil can absorb carbon at the rate of about half a ton per hectare per year, and it can continue doing so for 30 to 50 years until the sink capacity for the carbon is full. The key is to manage it properly.
Tell us more about that.
Well, most of the soils can maintain a positive carbon budget if you keep crop residue mulch. As your previous guest had just indicated, if the soil is mulched, if soil is not plowed, and if the soil is given a balanced nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, the soil erosion is controlled, and there is a cover crop planted in the rotation cycle. Mm-hmm. With all these good farming practices, soil can maintain a positive carbon budget, which means it can soak in more carbon from the atmosphere than it emits back in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And this process by which the soil can store more carbon, we technically call it carbon sequestration. Mm-hmm. We have at Ohio State for last about 15 years or so conducting research on the rate of carbon sequestration under different management systems, under different ecoregions of the country and internationally, and we find that it can indeed offset fossil fuel emissions.
That's interesting, but you have to not take stuff that's grown out of the soil and then burn it in the air.
No, certainly not. If you take away the crop residue for any other purpose, including traditional biofuels or the so-called modern biofuels, cellulosic ethanols, or feeding it to the cattle, then obviously the rate of carbon sequestration may be negative, which means we are depleting the carbon. But if we maintain a positive budget, if we control erosion and leave the crop residue back on the soil, not burn it, mm-hmm. It can certainly offset fossil fuel emissions within a certain limit.
But there are millions and millions of people around the world who do burn the soil, so to speak, in the form of dung, don't they?
You are very, very right. They not only burn crop residues for different reasons, such as slash and burn agriculture, which is done in several countries in Africa and South America and Asia, but also the residue which is fed to the cattle and then the dung which is produced by cattle, sometimes the dung is also burnt. And this process of burning the residue or burning the animal waste can be detrimental to environment, certainly counterproductive to soil carbon sequestration and soil quality.
And these people are very poor and really can't afford any other source of fuel.
That is unfortunate the case in many developing countries where the modern fuel sources are not available. Mm-hmm. Then people do burn crop residues, wood and animal dung for cooking, for household energy. And that process in itself can be quite adverse to the environment. For example, we have heard about many countries in surrounding the Indian Ocean, for example, burn crop residue and other biomass for cooking purposes, emitting quite a lot of soot into the atmosphere. And this soot can impact the radiation budget, can impact the monsoon climate, in addition to, of course, having serious adverse impact on the health of the women or whoever are cooking, including the children, in unventilated area.
There's something called the Asian brown cloud, is there?
There is a technical term which satellite imagery has shown that a very large soot cloud, the so-called Asian brown cloud, exists in the atmosphere, the size of the continent or the Indian Ocean, And this cloud over the last several years has been shown to impact the radiation budget, which influences the evaporation of water from the ocean. Consequently, the monsoons over South Asia, all the way up to China, has been impacted. Many people believe that if we can substitute clean cooking fuel rather than using crop residues and animal waste, which should appropriately be used as amendment for improving soil quality, if we can substitute that for a better quality fuel in millions of households in Asia and Africa, that could reverse the degradation trend of the soil quality while at the same time improving the environment. This is a very important issue. Certainly the poverty, the desperate situation where the resource-poor people do not have clean household energy fuel is causing the environmental and soil quality issues. And the degradation of the soil, because we are not recycling the nutrients, not recycling the carbon, which should be back in soil, is having many, many long-term impacts on soil and the environment.
This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow, talking with Ratan Lal, professor of soil science at Ohio State University. Our number 1-800-989-8255. Let's see if I can get a phone call or two. Let's go to Whitney in Moorhead, Minnesota. Hi, Whitney.
Hello. I was wondering if they're talking about soil sequestration of carbon, whether no-till practices or low-till practices assist with that. And I'm always been curious about whether it's possible with organic gardens and the balance of organic practices versus no-till practices, and
Okay, we'll get an answer. Hang on.
Yeah, you have a good question. No-till is a good practice.
What does that mean, no-till?
No-till means growing crops without plowing, eliminating plowing or reducing plowing. You plant crops in a previous residue of the previous crop and control weeds by herbicides, and without any pre-planting seed bed preparation, plant crops through it. The system was developed in Ohio. We had long-term experiments started in early 1962 at 3-4 locations in Ohio. Since then, our experimental data shows very positive trends in soil quality, especially carbon sequestration. But the key is the crop residue should be maintained as a mulch. That's a very important component. Weeds must be controlled. If the weeds are not controlled, things does not work. Soil must be well drained. If soils are clay, if they are poorly drained, if they don't warm up very quickly in spring, April, May, you can have some retarded crop growth and nutrient immobilization, stunted growth. But if soils are well drained and there is a drought that can hit during the growing season, no-till is a very good answer to erosion control, to soil water conservation, and of course carbon sequestration.
We had some scientists suggest that if we put charcoal back in our soil, we could lock up all, make them very fertile and lock up a lot of the CO2.
Yes, there has been a lot of interest in using biochar, the so-called biochar. And this concept originated from a colleague of ours, now unfortunately no longer with us, deceased, Dr. Wim Sombrook, who looked at some of the soils in the Amazon region. They're called Terra Preta do Indio, the Indian rich black soils in the Amazon. And what he found was that the farmers in the Amazon, the native farmers, have been using charcoal material to enrich the fertility of these soils. And that concept is being promoted here in the United States and elsewhere. There are several colleagues working on it. I think the important question is, can we produce biochar without removing the crop residue from the land? If the biochar can be produced from material anything other than the crop residue, I think it's a good idea. The question is, how much of biochar do you need? If you need 5-ton, 10-ton, and you can produce only, say, 40% of the crop or biomass into residue, we have to balance out to make sure where the residue comes from, what are the economics of it, and what impact can it have.
All right, Dr. Lau, we've run out of time, but the take-home message is leave the residue on the field, put it back in the soil.
Correct.
Yes, Ratan Lal is a professor of soil science and the director of the Carbon Management and Sequestration Center at Ohio State University in Columbus. Greg Smith composed our theme music, and we had help today from NPR librarian Kim Oleski. If you'd like to write us the old-fashioned classic way. Yeah, we like to hear from you that way. Our address is Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. Or if you want to do it the electronic way, you can email us at scifry@npr.org. It's better yet, surf over to our website. Leave us email at our website at sciencefriday.com, because we have podcasts and blogs, and you can download our videos. Flora's got some new video up this week and every week. And also, if you'd rather do it the iTunes way, go to iTunes, and then you can just get our videos sent to you and our podcast sent to you automatically by signing up on the iTunes. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flato in New York.